What have we been talking about for the last several months on Wednesday nights? Each one, reach one. That is our goal. That is what we are going after. That is what we want to keep before all of us. It's a good thing to be reminded that we need to reach people. Amen? We have to reach our community. We have to reach the world. That is our goal. And so I want to continue with that theme tonight. Just going to look at it from a little bit of a different angle. I'm going to go through several verses at first. So just bear with me as we go through different scriptures. The first scripture I would like to go to is Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And the story goes on, but we know that Jesus ministered to Zacchaeus. So Jesus was going to Jericho. I'm sure he had a plan. He had a purpose. He was going somewhere. He was doing something. But he was willing to stop. He was willing to be interrupted to minister to Zacchaeus. And that's how I want to approach today's message. Are you willing to be interrupted? Are you willing to have your life interrupted? I know there have been many times that God has ministered to me, which meant he was interrupted, or whoever ministered to me may have been interrupted. Are you willing to have your life interrupted so that you can minister to someone and tell them about Jesus? Let's look at another one. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there he met 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them came back when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And we know the story goes on. He was made whole because he came back and worshiped Jesus. But what I want to make note of is Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was going somewhere. He was doing something. He had an agenda. He was willing to be interrupted so that he could minister to the lepers. And because he was willing to minister to the lepers, their lives were changed forever. Are you willing to be interrupted? Are you willing to have your life and your agenda and your schedule interrupted? This is what I want to ask today, and is what has been on my heart today. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we are going to start in verse 21. This is the story of Jairus' daughter. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and that she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Jesus had arrived by ship into wherever it was he was. And there was people all around him placing demands on him. Have you ever had a day where there were demands placed on you? Left, right, and center, there were people placing demands on you. Everywhere you went, someone wanted something. This is what it was like where Jesus was. There was people all around him. Jesus, help! Jesus, help! Jesus, help! But he was willing to be interrupted in what he had planned and what he was doing so that he could minister to someone. And he raised that girl from the dead, and he again changed someone's life forever. Are you willing to be interrupted? Are you willing to have your agenda, your schedule, your plan interrupted? Even if it means you're going to be late for church, even if it means you're going to be late to get to supper, are you willing to be interrupted? Let's look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we will start at verse 3. And he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must go through Samaria. Then he cometh into a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now at Joseph's well there, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. And we all know the rest of the story. I would read through it, but my purpose isn't to talk about the woman at the well. I want to talk about Jesus. If you look at verse 6, Jesus was weary. He was tired. He'd had a day. He'd been walking all day, possibly busy. Everywhere he went, someone wanted something of him. And he thought he could just sit for a minute and rest. And relax, because he was tired. A lot of times we don't think that Jesus may have been tired because we see him as the Son of God, but he was also a man. He was tired. And yet when the woman came, what did he do? He rose to the occasion and he ministered to her and he changed her life. Are you willing to be interrupted even when you're tired? Even when you just want to go home and go to bed? You just want to sit down and have a Coca-Cola. You just want to be left alone. You've spoken all the words you want to speak for the day because you're tired. You've been talking to coworkers all day. You've been yelled at the phone by customers. Your boss got mad at you. You just want to be done. But someone comes and needs Jesus. Are you willing to be interrupted? Are you willing? Even when you're tired. Let's look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man came from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look at us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And again, we all know the rest of the story, walking and leaping and praising God. But again, they had an agenda. They were on their way to pray. They were being spiritual. How many times have we been rushing to church? Got up late, the alarm didn't go off. I have to get gas before I go to church. Because the tank is below empty. I got to get there. I snagged my pantyhose. I got to go buy new pantyhose. All of the things that can happen on your way to church, on your way to pray, on your way to be spiritual. But someone needs you. Are you willing to be interrupted? Are you willing to set aside your agenda and your schedule to minister to someone who needs to be ministered to? And the ministered to, I'm going to use meaning minister to them because they need salvation. This can mean many different things, but in view of tonight, we're talking about each one, reach one. We want to reach somebody. Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which shows us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And again, we know the rest of the story. But they were on their way to church, and this woman harassed them every day. Are you willing to minister to someone who's harassing you? A lot of times when someone is harassing us, ministering to them is the last thing that we want to do to them. We would gladly say to them, get out of my life. I never want to see you again. You have caused me nothing but hardship. If someone is harassing you, are you open to the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, minister to them? They need freedom. Are you willing to have your agenda interrupted? Are you willing to have possibly your attitude towards them interrupted so that you can minister to them and get them born again? It's a perspective I think that we all need to have, because in this life, we can get so busy. We have to go here. We have to do this. This day and age, life is busy, 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 busy. Go, 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 go. Do, 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 and do. And you have to do this and you have to do that, and you're spinning. And there's no time to think of anyone but yourself and your family. And we want to change our hearts so that our attitude is outward, so that we're willing to have our schedule and our attention interrupted so that we can minister to someone and change their life. Amen? Okay. Let us look at I just want to touch briefly on, a lot of times when we minister to someone or are reaching out to them, it's not that God has spoken to you directly and said, go minister to Joe. He needs Jesus. What we're doing is we're going out into our community, and we have our radar up. We're looking for someone. You're keenly aware in your heart, you're checking, and you're just looking around. I think I've said this before. It's like you're a submarine and your periscope is up. And you're like, whoop, 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 who can I minister to? Who's there that I can minister to? God, who is it? I'm willing to be interrupted today. I'm willing to be late if I need to be late to somewhere. I want to minister to someone. While you're at work, is there someone you can minister to? Is there someone who needs you to speak into their life? Are you willing to be interrupted? And in all of these things, we have to use common sense, right? If you're at work, you're on the clock. That means you are not going to let your employer pay you while you go into deep intercession for someone for 30 minutes or have a big, long counseling session with them. We want to respect our employers, right? So you want to be a workman worthy of your hire. But what if an employee, a fellow employee is upset? You can say to them, hey, can I pray for you real quick? And you pray for them very quickly, and then you walk on and you carry on. Or you say, hey, I can talk to you at break. Can we talk about it? Let's try and go on break together. And you can minister to them then. Common sense, if you're at Walmart and there's someone that you zero in on and you know you're supposed to minister to them and you've built a rapport with them and you're talking to them, we want to use common sense. You don't want to stand in the middle of the aisle and say, let me pray for you. Oh, Father God! I pray for this heathen right now. No, you're going to take them out of the main aisle and just talk to them quietly, right? And speak to them and not be dramatic in the thing. So common sense is what we're after, but we also want to be very aware of our surroundings and very aware that we're ready to be interrupted, that we've made that hard adjustment and say, God, I don't care what else I have going on. If there's someone here who needs to hear about you, I'm willing. I'm here. I'm available. And it's just a small adjustment that we need to make in our hearts so that we are ready to go. There are times in the Bible when God has spoken very specifically to the apostles or the disciples and told them, you need to go minister to them. So I'm thinking of Peter and Cornelius, where God gave him a vision in a dream and told him to go speak. And then I'm also thinking of, who was the other guy? I'm also thinking of Philip and the Ethiopian, right? Where God translated him and sent him somewhere. But generally speaking, this is the exception, not the rule. The rule of thumb is we're reaching out to people. We are willing to minister to them where we are and where they are. Amen? So how can you go about ministering to people? So just say you feel on your heart that you are supposed to reach out to Sally, the cashier. Well, you can't really sit there and start to preach at her while she's doing her job, but you can go to her checkout line every time you go to Walmart, and you can say her name. Do you know they say the sweetest sound to someone is the sound of someone else speaking their name? So people love to hear their name spoken by someone else. So you can know her name because most cashiers wear a name tag. Hey, Sally, how are you today? And you'll be surprised what cashiers will tell you if you're friendly to them while you're checking out. How are you? Are you ready for Easter? Yeah, are you doing anything special? And a lot of times they'll just start talking. And so then the next time you go, even though her line is the longest and you'd really like to go to Billy Bob's checkout because he's only got two people, nope, I'm going to go to Sally's. I'm going to go through there. And I'm just going to talk to her. Hey, Sally, how are you? Hey, you told me last time I was coming through that your son, Joseph, was coming for dinner. Did he come for dinner? Did you have a good time? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And you remember things about their lives and you just start to build a rapport and a relationship with them. And eventually we know that God will open a door so that you can minister to them. They may say something like, oh, I'm really struggling. Such and such has happened. And at that point you can say to them, hey, I go to a church that believes in the power of prayer. Can I pray for you? Can we pray for you? And when I've said that to someone, I have yet to have someone say no. So do you risk rejection and having someone say no? Yeah, you do. But what if they say yes? What if they say yes? And what if you did something like what Jem did with the girl at McDonald's and you just pray for them very quickly right then and there. Father, I pray that you minister to Sally right now, whatever she's going through. Help her with her family. Help her with her husband. Help her son. Whatever the situation is, it's reaching out to them where they are. Are you willing to be interrupted? Are you willing to reach out to your neighbor, your cranky neighbor who's next door? Are you living your testimony with your neighbors? Because that is one of the biggest testimonies we have, is with those who live closest to us. So, is your yard nice and clean? When your dog goes to the bathroom on your neighbor's property, do you pick it up or do you just leave it there for them to pick up? This is a testimony. This is a testimony, and we'll make people mad if you don't. We want to make sure that we are reaching them. Do you help that single mom who lives next door when there's been a heavy snow? Do you help her go shovel her driveway? I'm not saying every time it snows, but just, you know, you heard that your neighbor two doors down is sick. You can go knock on the door and say, hey, I made you some soup. All these little things are reaching out to your neighbors, and it's your living testimony. Do people know that you're a Christian? In the New Testament, people seem to know who the disciples were because they walked in power. They walked in authority. They knew where to go when there was a problem. Do people in your life and in your neighborhood know to come to you when there's a problem? Do the people you work with know that you're a praying person? Are you living your testimony? And if you are living your testimony, are you willing to be interrupted when it's usually the most inconvenient time for you? Are you willing to be interrupted so that you can reach one and change their life forever? The Bible says in Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's make that a little bit smaller and closer to home. Go into all of your neighborhood. Go into all of Walmart. Go into all of St. Thomas. Go into Elmer. Go into Port Stanley. Go into London and preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel isn't just preaching the gospel. It's living. It's reaching out to someone, saying to that cashier, I'm sorry you've had a rough day. I'll be praying for you. Are you willing to be interrupted in your day-to-day life so that you can see the person who needs Jesus and reach out to them? That is what I wanted to bring to you today. It's something the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. Am I willing to be interrupted and just get over myself, have a change of heart, and reach somebody? The Bible says, several times through the New Testament that numbers were added to them daily of the church. Daily! That made me feel so convicted because I haven't been good at even annually adding to the body of Christ, much less daily. It's about changing your focus and finding what's important. We're saying each one, reach one. But daily, people were added to the kingdom. And it wasn't just, if you look in Acts and in Mark and in different places, it's not saying one person was added daily. People were added daily. It wasn't just one or two or three or four. It was like in their numbers multiplied and they greatly increased in number. This needs to be our vision, and this is what we need to go after. And you can get overwhelmed thinking, I can't reach 500 people. I'm not an evangelist. You can reach one. And if you reach one today, then that means there's another person you can reach tomorrow. I had a teacher in Bible school, Cooper Beatty. He was a fiery, fiery guy, and he would believe God every day to win someone to the lost. Lord, just one person, and he would preach to the waitress, he would preach to the cashier, he would preach to stranger on the street, whoever it was that God told him to. He would say, God, send someone across my path today, someone that I can minister to. Show me who they are. And every day he would do it. Are you willing to have your life interrupted so that you can minister to someone? It's a change in our heart to go from being self-focused to God-focused and the lost-focused. And that's what I want to challenge you today. Each one, reach one. Be interrupted. Be willing to do what is necessary to reach that one, because it's not always going to be convenient. Okay? My 20 minutes is up. And I am done. And so Jem is coming now to do her part.
She took my scriptures. No, not really. In the book of Acts, the scripture she just quoted in the book of Acts, where they went from house to house and the Lord added to the church daily those that needed to be saved. Those that needed to be saved. And then there's another place where the Bible says in the book of Acts, 5,000 were added to the church. And then there's another place where after there had been great persecution and the church was scattered because of what Paul was doing. And so they were no longer in Jerusalem, but they were in other places. And the Bible says that the church was multiplied. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. There's a statement that's just been rolling around in my heart for days. Jesus did not die for us so that we only come to church. Jesus died for us so that we would become the church. The book of Acts became the church. They became the church. And that's what we're trying to build here. Let's reach one, each one, reach one. We are praying every Thursday at intercession that God will create divine appointments for each one of us, for each one of us, and that we're interceding for the lost. So important that we're interceding for the lost. There's been seasons where we've had to bind the strong man, where we were in intercession and addressing the strong man. It was so important. There was a season where we really focused on addressing witchcraft. And then just out of the blue, God said, start praying for the lost, stronger and heavier. And right now, that's where we are. Because the Bible says, bind the strong man. Bind the strong man first before you can take his possessions. Bind the strong man. And so that prayer comes at different levels. So it's so critical that we pray. And talking about the fast on Saturday as well, if we pray for Brazil, the Bible says if you pray for one another, you will be healed, made whole. That literally means made whole. And it's like, God sees every prayer that we lift up on behalf of someone else. As intercessors, as we stand in the gap for Brazil, we're taking their place. We're standing in the gap for the lost in their nation. But we, in the journey of that, will be made whole. Our church will be made whole if we pray for their church. Our church needs to be made whole. It's so critical. Our church needs to be made whole. And so, yeah, I don't know, some of you, Vicky, Diana, Michelle, were here when Gary Carpenter was here. And the word that he gave was, if you ask me, I'll give you St. Thomas. And so for the last 3 years, I've been praying, how do we take St. Thomas? I mean, I've told you before, I've been asleep. I didn't realize that we had to go out. We had to go out and do Mark 16. We had to go out to the world and preach the gospel. I was thinking, if you pray long enough and hard enough, the people are going to come. But that's not what happened. And that's not what happened in the book of Acts. It said they went from house to house to house to house to house to house. And daily they were added to those that needed salvation. Obviously, they went to the homes of unsaved people. Obviously. Because it's right there in the Bible. Those that needed to be saved. And God added to the church every single day. Every day. Every day. But Gary Carpenter said, if you ask me, I'll give you St. Thomas. And so I've been asking. But what the Lord has shown me is we had to bind the strong man. We were in a series of intercession of binding the strong man. He showed us vividly about witchcraft and how it operates and how destructive it is. And so we've had to address that. But more and more we're praying for the lost. More and more we're praying for the lost. And so it's so critical that we follow that. But I've come back to the initial statement. Jesus did not die for us so that we only come to church. Jesus died for us so that we would become the church. Are we going to become that church? Are we going to learn to walk in that power and believe God? Believe Mark 16. Believe Mark 16. Are you building it still in your spirit, man? Has it come alive to you? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And there's only one way, Mark 11. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if we're not saying it, then we're not building faith. So it's so critical that we say it. I lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. I cast out devils and they are free. I pray for them to be speaking in tongues and they are filled. And it's so critical that we build that. It is so critical. Like Michelle said, there may be times you experience rejection. That's all part of it. Like the book of Acts, they were so severely persecuted that the whole church was scattered. But God multiplied. Every city they went to, God multiplied the numbers. And so that's the bottom line. Are we going to be the church or are we not going to be the church? James chapter 1 verse 22 said, if you are not a doer of the word, you are self-deceived. We need to do what we've learned. It's so critical that we are not hearers only, but we are doers of the word of God. And if you're still somewhat complacent, if you're still somewhat asleep, I was. I admit it. And it's like, this is coming off of me. This is coming off of me. This is no longer living in me. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to make sure I wake up. God, wake up that hunger. Wake up that hunger. Keep me alert to when I step out there, keep me alert. Don't let it go dormant. Because, you know, we are in a stream where there's such good teaching with Alan Taylor, Pastor Dave, Gary Carpenter, such good teaching of truth. And it's so easy just to take a sermon and say, that is nice. Yeah, it was good. What do you talk about? I don't know. I mean, I've walked out of church that way many times, right? And it's like, but let's be the church. Let's be the church. Let's do this. Let's not let this fall to the ground. Let's be the church. Let's see these seats filled. Let's see 10 services a day. Let's build that. I mean, 5,000 to the church. How many services would we have to have? Every single one of you would have to be preaching salvation to the people that are walking in. Every single one of you. And that's what this is all about, is to build leaders and train people to win the lost and to teach the lost as they walk in the church and to lay hands on the sick. That's what this is all about. We need to build that in. Don't let this fall to the ground. Reach one. Keep your words going. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. I will reach the lost. I do have divine appointments. I do lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. Say it, say it, say it. People aren't saying it. So many people don't say it. They don't talk it. It's so critical. And all you need to do is go to the book of Acts or the book of Genesis. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and it was. Sooner or later, what comes out of your mouth, you will believe it. And the more you say it, the sooner you will believe it. So it's so critical. Let's not let this fall to the ground. Let's build this. It is time. People are ready. People are so ready. People are hungry. It is time. It is so time. We don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. I believe there's coming a day where I will stand before God and He will say to me, if I let this fall to the ground, He will say to me, why didn't you take St. Thomas? Why didn't you take St. Thomas? That scares the fire out of me. Like, I don't want this to go dormant. I don't want this to die. I want us to do this. And together we can become the church. We can become the church. We don't just come to church, but we become the church. It's so critical that that's what we do. Don't let this fall to the ground. If you're not awake yet, it's okay. Don't get condemned, but determined. Bless God, I'm going to wake up. I'm not complacent. I'm not lukewarm. I refuse to be lukewarm. I'm going to be hot. Say those words. Say it. Say it. Say it. I can't stress it enough, because what you say, you will have. You'll have. All of us. Our words create our future. Our words create our life. What we say is so critical. So I don't want this to fall to the ground. I don't want us to become complacent again. I don't want us to become lukewarm. I want us to be on fire. You know, and it's like, it doesn't take a lot. It was 12 disciples. It's 12 disciples. There's 8 of us here. It doesn't take a lot. And so you know what? We're going to take, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to take the city, because I will not, determine not to stand before God. And He's going to say, why didn't you do what I said? And it's like, we're going to. We're going to be the church. We are going to be the church in St. Thomas. In the name of Jesus, I declare it. All right, we got a few minutes to pray. So, Father, we thank You that You birth that vision within us and make it stronger. Burn it in us. Burn it in us, Holy Spirit. Pour water on him that is thirsty. Pour water on dry land, Father God, of our hearts, in the name of Jesus. I thank You that You create those divine appointments, those supernatural connections, and that, like what Michelle said, let yourself be interrupted and stop for the one. Stop for the one like Jesus did. He stopped for the one. He stopped for that one and ministered. Wake us up to that, Father God. Do a work within each heart in the name of Jesus, so that we're never the same again. I know, Father God, that when each one of us lays hands on the sick or casts out a devil, they'll come to church on fire. Each one of us will. Holy Spirit, we yield to You. And we're asking You to help us again. I know that when we pray in tongues, we are praying according to the perfect will of God. And so we yield to You, Holy Spirit. And all we can say is, help, help, help. And grace to help. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name.